Well, I'd like to welcome Jude Cano to Caregiver Smile Summit 2. We're going to talk about international perspectives on caregiving, in this case, from his perspective, living and working in Africa. He's a dedicated professional caregiver with years of experience in elderly care within homes and assisted living environments. And his interest in elderly caregiving started during his youth service to his country. He was posted to a rural area to serve and realized that less or no attention was given to the elderly in the African society. He took it upon himself to become an advocate of care for the elderly. He has created awareness in elderly care by writing to the government to establish care facilities and assisted living homes across Nigeria and Africa so that the elderly could benefit from such establishments. And Jude, it's a real pleasure to welcome you to the Caregiver Summit. I'm glad you reached out to me. We very seldom hear about these issues in other countries, so welcome.
Thank you.
All right. So caregiving is not a recognized term in kind of the language over there, even though it clearly exists. How widespread is the elder care crisis in Africa?
Well, thank you once again, Anthony. You see, caregiving in Africa, it's really a mess. Like, I've been to some other African countries, not just in Nigeria. You know, I am from Nigeria. I've been to Ghana, I've been to Togo, I've been to Benin Republic, I've been to other African countries. And it's the same thing all over. There is no attention given to the elderly, the disabled, and the vulnerable in our society in Africa. There are no plans. We don't have a government intervention in all these areas. And it's horrible because in Africa, we don't age graciously. We don't age gracefully. The death rate is high. You can't compare the aging process in other developed countries and continents to that of Africa. It's really widespread. We have a lot of crisis everywhere. And because of the poverty rate in Africa, it's huge. You know, other developed countries has plans for the elderly and for the disabled. But here we don't have plans for that. It's everybody for him or herself. You have a government that doesn't see the need to actually develop or come up with plans for these people. And it's disheartening. It's a crisis. It calls for concern. And it's some of us that have taken it upon ourselves to advocate for these people, you know, to create awareness for people to see what's happening. It's not easy on us. And then when you look at carrying out this project, carrying out these responsibilities, and then you don't have backup, you don't have support from the people that are influenced or the government that are ruling, and then it becomes a problem. And then, for instance, like you said when you were introducing me, when I was posted to rural communities, I saw that it's really a terrible thing. In fact, you need to see how these people are suffering. Some of these elderly people, they don't have people to care for them, you know. And you know that when you are getting to that old age, your health deteriorates. There are some things that you cannot do for yourself. And then you need someone to do it for you. Now you don't have people that can do it for them, because even when they have family and friends, you see that some of them are staying abroad and then they just leave them in the village. And it's really disheartening. So the crisis is so huge. It's so much in Africa. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, why do you think that is? I mean, why are people not, you know, paying attention to the elderly? And the second part of that question is, you know, I do know that in some cultures, the families revere their elders. And I thought, at least I had a conception that in the African culture they did as well. But I'm hearing you say that because of work circumstances and things like that, people just, while they do revere their elders, perhaps they just are not physically around to be able to take care. So, you know, I just want people in the U.S. to understand, you know, because we think we have obstacles here, but I think you folks have even more even more so. So, you know, do you have any kind of a opinion on why these issues have not really been paid attention to?
Okay. For instance, we have a lot of things surrounding this. You have the cultural belief. Then you have this superstitious belief. You know, for instance, it's well known that it's a common thing here that once you are old, your time has passed. You don't belong to the society anymore. You know, you've done yours and you just have to go down there and settle and then wait for your death. Mm. So that's how they see it over here. Then you have this belief that some of these elderly people are witches. I don't know if that happens over there. When you think that people has these diabolical beliefs, I think that because you're an elderly person, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. You are bewitched. So you're supposed to be, you know, escalated. You're supposed to be out of other people. You don't need to be in the society anymore, you know, because your time has passed. Because you might bring bad luck, you know, to a young person's life. You know, you might just be a nuisance to the society. So those are the things that people reason. And it's really so bad how people think like that. That is why, you know, most of these people, they don't want these elderly people staying close to them. They prefer they stay, you know, very far from them. And then staying very far from them, if we have care facilities or assisted living homes, it would have been a different thing where, okay, you don't want your elderly person to stay with your family or with you, but you can now take the person there and then maybe pay for sponsor the person in a care home. But the other problem is that we don't even have care homes. So you see, these people just end up being in rural communities and villages, suffering all by themselves with nobody to help them. So this is what we face here. And that is why you have a lot of elderly people in rural communities with nobody to care for them because of these beliefs of people. And then we are trying to actually change this narrative, these beliefs, but it has not been an easy process. But with God, we are doing a lot.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that as well. So that's very interesting because, wow, you're starting out of such a deficit in terms of a place of beliefs that you know, people have no more to offer and can actually be a curse in some ways. I mean, that's I have to say that's a little bit different than what we see here. I think we've come a long way to start believing that, you know, as people age, they have even more to contribute to society than ever before. And a lot of people are finding new purpose in their lives. So it's a good perspective for people to know, because a lot of times caregivers in the U.S. get down on themselves and think they have, you know, the obstacles, but you certainly have more so. I did want to deviate a little bit and ask you, you know, are there any movements to build assisted living? I mean, what happens to these people? They just age in their home?
Yeah, these people, they just stay in their homes and then they lack care. And that is why we are advocating, let us have assisted living homes. You know, let the government sponsor, you know, let the government build. In fact, Africa, for instance, in Nigeria, we have over 2 million people in this country. And out of that 2 million people, you have a good percentage that are the elderly and then the disabled and the vulnerable. And then there are no assisted living homes. There is not even one. Mm. We only have, I've been to one in Ghana, where it's a UN-sponsored project. It can only accommodate for a few people. But we don't have such. You know, like I know for developed countries, they have assisted living homes and care homes. You know, both private-owned assisted living homes and then government-owned living homes. But here we don't have them. And the government is not even seeing the need, you know, to have these facilities all over Africa, you know, to cater for these people. And then because they don't have where to go, they end up getting home and then staying there and then waiting for their death. In fact, they've lost home, because I was able to interview some of them. And they will tell you that, my son, I'm just waiting for the day that the Lord will call me to just come, you know, because there is nothing for them. And because the society thinks that they have nothing to offer and their world is gone, You know, they now believe they don't have any hope again. So they are hopeless. They're just waiting for the day that, and then you see some of them that are that has money. You know what they do? They will just take them abroad, you know, and then put them in care homes, you know, and they recover. And some of them might even decide to stay over there, you know, without coming back because the system here is so bad. So we are advocating, we are calling on the government and then private investors to come all over. This is a huge business. And I tell you, if somebody can invest in this particular business in Africa, he's going to have his return on investment. Because many people, you know, are eager to send their loved ones in living homes instead of having them in villages. They will have a lot of people that want to sponsor people in care homes, but we don't have them here. So that is what we're advocating for. Let us have assisted living homes, if not in each state of the country, or at least local government areas of the country. Then where we can have like community where the elderly people can come together and then share ideas and even advise the young ones. You know, because I believe that the elderly ones still has a lot to offer to the society. You know, so we're advocating for a community. We are trying to build a community where we can actually have them come together, you know, interact, share ideas, have fun, you know, let them belong, let them feel that hope of belonging to the society again. So those are the things that we're doing. I was hoping that, you know, we get people to be involved in this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just the fact that you're involved in this issue when so few are, you know, it's just starting to turn the corner here in the U.S., I think, in regards to the society's general awareness of aging issues. But still people have, even people who work in the industry have their own preconceptions about what a nursing home is or whatever, and don't want to see that for themselves, even though they may run one for others. But, you know, one of the things you alluded to was that sending people out of the country for people who have means. And I was wondering, you know, where you have a society where there's a have and have not culture, where certain people can go abroad and while the other citizens go without, is that part of the reason why maybe the government's not paying attention to it? Because unless it hits home for people at the highest levels, they're not going to change. And if the highest levels have the means to go somewhere else, then this does not become an issue. So how do you begin to change the culture and the conversation here? Because I mean, we struggle around these issues in the U.S., but you know, at the end of the day, whether you're a senator or a congressman or whatever, I mean, we've had incidents just recently where a senator's back in my hometown of Philadelphia, I think it was a senator's mother was in a care facility that was understaffed, and because of the poor care, she passed away under their care, under kind of a little bit of abusive situations. And so we're not immune to it here, but and we have the, you know, supposedly the best care in the world. So, I mean, how do you start a conversation over there when the people who are in the most power to make the decision, it's not an issue for them personally?
Okay. You see, we have hospitals over here. Some of them are standard, some of them are not standard. But the hospitals that we have can actually take care of us. But you see, recovery, health recovery is a process. It's not only about medical attention. It requires care. Even when you have gotten your treatment, you know, that care, that non-medical care is also needed for your full recovery. And now, because we don't have a system for care, a care system in this continent, and there will have a lot of people that are influenced, that they have money, and they are politicians, they are big men among us. You know, so they want to send their loved ones abroad for not just for medical treatment, but because of the care that they get over there. And then it becomes a problem because they don't see that need anymore to invest over here, you know, to invest in assisted living homes and care facilities for these people. And the thing is, we don't have not even one caregiving institute in Africa, in Nigeria, where people can be trained. You know, this care, this caregiving requires training. You can't just get somebody from anywhere and say, okay, provide care for somebody, for this person. The person might not even know where to start. you need patience. You need the basic training. You need to be able to take vital signs. You need to be able to care for somebody that is recovering. And those are the things that these people are supposed to learn. But see that we don't even have that facility for them to learn. We don't have a plan, a curriculum in schools for caregiving. You know, we don't have a single school, you know, for caregiving. Even first aid, you know, those are basic things that caregivers are supposed to know, you know, to be able to offer care. But we don't have them here. So because of that, these people that are rich end up sending their loved ones abroad. And then the ones that cannot be able to afford, you know, their abroad care and abroad treatment ends up dead over here. That is why they don't age graciously, or so they don't age peacefully over here, and they die untimely, even before their death, because they cannot afford such things.
Sure.
So you see, it's really a bad one over here.
Yeah. So what are you doing personally, like on a day-to-day basis, to help change this culture?
Okay, I and my team, we saw the need. We saw this as a very, very, very huge problem. And then we've actually done a lot. We've sent a lot of letters, messages to the government, advocating for care. Now, currently, we are running a platform, a system, where we want to get a database of the elderly in our society. And then we go to schools, and then we actually try to get students involved in this crisis. We try to let them know that they can actually intern in rural communities by providing care for the elderly. We don't want to wait for the government, because we don't know when they will intervene. And because of that, we're taking it upon ourselves. You know, we try to get the young ones and tell them they need to actually be involved in this crisis, to go to rural areas, to rural communities, and then care for these people, you know, for a period of time, during their summer period, you know, during their internship. And when they are, by doing that, we also offer training to them on how to care for the elderly or the disabled. So this is what we're doing. Again, we are actually trying to build a curriculum and an institute where we train caregivers, so that we can actually have professional caregivers, you know, across Africa that we can send to care for these people. And then we're advocating, we are calling on investors and philanthropists to actually sponsor the elderly in rural communities. That is why we are creating a database of elderly among us in our platform. So we will have a sponsor, you know, you can identify and say, okay, I want to sponsor Mr. A. And then by sponsoring Mr. A, we get a caregiver to care for Mr. A. And then you as a sponsor will pay, you know, for you pay the caregiver, you know, for providing care to Mr. A. You understand? So these are the things we are doing. And right now we have a blog where we share caregiving tips. It's nobleheartcaregivers.com. It's the first caregiver blog in Africa. So there we dish out daily caregiving tips, tricks, everything that caregivers need to be able to offer care to the elderly. So we see we are doing a lot, but this is not something that we can do alone. It requires money, it requires attention, it requires connection, it requires networking. And that is why we are advocating that the government should be involved. You know, if they can actually just support us, it will take time. But with time, we can be able to actually solve this crisis. It's going to take time. It's not something that we can just do immediately or instantly. But I think that if everybody can be involved, all the stakeholders, you know, look into this crisis, we can do more.
Wow, that's great. So you said you have a blog. So what kind of tips do you typically provide on that blog to help people? What are some of the pressing issues that people want to know more about?
Okay, because caregiving is new in this part of the world. It's a new thing. It's a new career over here. So we try to teach people, you know, that this is actually a career and a profession. You know, you can earn a living from caregiving. You know, and then, for instance, on a daily basis, we give out tips. Okay, we'd give her like first aid. How do you handle first aid, you know, for your residents or for the an elderly that you're caring for in a facility where you have a facility? You know, those basic first aid that you can actually offer when somebody is injured or somebody has a health problem before you now call medical attention. We also teach them on communication. You know, the way you talk to other people of your mates is not the same way you talk to the elderly. Some of them are health impaired in their hearing. They have hearing loss. They cannot see very well. So their communication is not the same thing. It requires skills to be able to communicate with them. So we're also sharing communication skills on how you can actually interact with them. And then you have some of them that require assistance to be able to walk, to be able to do some things. Then we teach you on how to actually walk them through, you know. Then you have, we also share tips on hygiene. You know, it's very important for the elderly ones. Yep. Because of the health, from their health condition, you know, you require a different kind of personal hygiene. You wash your hand regularly, and we teach them the importance of hand washing. And then the type of food that you give to them, you know, you monitor the intake. You try to give them a normal, balanced diet. You don't just give them anything because of their health. You know, they are very sensitive now. And then we also teach on, you know, how you can actually make the system fun for them. You know, they are humans, and all humans requires care and attention and fun. So, and another serious problem that we suffer here is because of lack of professionalism in caregiving, you end up seeing a lot of abuses everywhere. Even where you have somebody that can actually offer care to an elderly, they end up abusing the elderly person. And then you also have a system where the elderly person ends up abusing the caregiver. So we also talk about abuse as a serious problem. We teach everything on that blog. And then we also provide care to the caregiver. You know, because you have this caregiver burnout, it requires patience. You cannot just get anybody to be involved in this. You need to have passion for it before you go for it. So we also teach the caregivers, you know, on tips to on how to actually keep themselves from being burned out on the process of giving care for the elderly. So we teach a lot of things on the blog, and we are doing a lot by God's grace.
Good for you. I mean, these issues are universal, and we're all human. And I think for the people who are watching this, especially in developed countries where they have more means and they have assisted livings around every corner, and we still complain, look at the great things that you're doing, the issues you're tackling in a society and a culture that does not necessarily revere their elders. I think it's an inspiration what you're doing and what we can learn from you. And it gives us all hope and maybe time to take pause to realize in some respects how good we have it in some of the other countries and to offer our well wishes and anything we can do to help other people and countries like, you know, yourself and what you're doing because this is a global issue. It'll catch up to some countries later than others, but we're all aging and the world's aging. So Jude, I wanted to thank you for being part of the Caregiver Smile Summit. I certainly learned a lot, and it's going to be an interesting session to have people view and listen to.
Yeah, thank you very much, Anthony. I'm really happy to be part of this, and it is really an amazing one.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.